Sure. All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, like, for example, it's not, I think, okay, here we go. Wait a minute. Hold on. Pretty much what the article goes on to state is that the association. Okay. So, like, here's, okay. So, all right. Do you want to start or you can just piece this together, right?
Yeah.
You're listening to Nothing Important.
Actually, that the New Orleans conversation with the way that that ended would actually probably be a good segment before the Man Whore podcast.
Okay. I'm also going to leave this part in where you talk about how that would be a good segment.
All right, do it.
Please enjoy the show.
You just got back from New Orleans.
I did.
How was that, guy?
It was an excellent trip. It's a lot different than the trip I took just a couple years ago. We went down there for a friend's wedding. Mm-hmm. I was the best man at his wedding, and our friend Travis, his wife Molly, the three of us went down a couple days early and experienced New Orleans and the French Quarter specifically. And, you know, we had our good times. And
we'll see exchange rate on that.
What's that?
The exchange rate? Shit.
What kind of money? Exchange rate on a French Quarter?
A French Quarter is about three wet asses.
Well, that's what you get for kidnapping once. Shame on me.
Oh, yeah. Which, in my head, it was a good joke. When I said it, I totally botched it. Well, I don't care.
Fool me once, kidnap you.
No, because it was supposed to be kidnap me once, whatever it was. Either way.
What it was supposed to be is, like, not even close to what you actually said.
But you know what was awesome about that is I probably listened to that 20 times in a row after we recorded that, because I recorded the wave at my house and I was going to send it to you. And I was, like, rolling on the ground laughing because of how stupid that sounded. And my favorite part of that is just, like, there was, like, this long pause. And then the first thing that said is, you're just like, are you fucking retarded? You're fucking retarded. I was dying so fucking bad on that.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt, Fink, but I just had to throw a cheesy joke in there. All right.
So anyway, it was a little bit different. I went down with my girlfriend, and we had a great time just doing things. She'd never been down there before, and the friend who got married down there lives down there, so he was showing us around, and I remembered some things. We went around, we researched it, and it was great, with the exception of it's the middle of summer. When we went down, it was like November, so it was quite mild. This was swassy and gross pretty much everywhere. Ooh. And if you walked anywhere within three blocks of Bourbon Street, it just smelled like vomit and urine and sadness. Eventually, after about 11 o'clock, after they got all the streets sprayed down, it was a little bit more tolerable. But otherwise it's an interesting place to be. I'll just say that.
Have you ever been to New Orleans, Dave?
I've never. No, I've been to Baton Rouge. I've been to Baton Rouge for like half a day. I think I crashed.
Oh, the Red Baton.
Relative's house. What? What's that thing?
Yeah. I said, the Red Baton.
Yes, the Red Baton. I believe that Garth Brooks likes to call it once in a while.
Oh, okay.
I'm so lost at whatever your conversation.
There's Garth Brooks has a song called "Call 'Em Baton Rouge."
And oh, gotcha.
Baton Rouge, Rouge Red.
Yes.
Oh, gotcha. See, those are those jokes I was talking about that go over my head. See,
it's like the Moulin Rouge is the Red House.
This is why even Epic Lloyd thinks I'm retarded.
But so I've never been to New Orleans. I've never experienced that culture. I hear that Bourbon Street is quite the shithole when it's not Mardi Gras time.
Well, that's the thing. I was just going to ask Fink, because I was there like 15 years ago. So that was before Hurricane Katrina. And then when I was there, it wasn't during Mardi Gras. It was just during a normal fucking day of the week. And even then, it was just kind of like, I remember it just like you could feel the grossness, right?
That's essentially how it felt. You walk within, like, you walk up to Bourbon Street, and it's a Bourbon Street's just a regular street.
On the Skype.
Compared to the other streets in the French Quarter.
That is an awesome pose that he has, too.
I don't understand how you and I keep going fluid, but, like,
he's back on now.
All right.
You froze, and we were talking shit about you.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. Bourbon Street is just like any other street that's down there in the old French Quarter. It's brick. There's just sidewalk and then straight building. It's maybe two cars side by side wide, so you can park, and then it's all one way street. But Bourbon Street, for whatever reason, is the place where people go, probably because the very first store that you walk on from Canal Street, the main thoroughfare, is a Larry Flint porn store. So it classes itself up right away, and then you just go. And my girlfriend had never been there before. I was there when we were with the wedding, and when you're with, you know, we were full of libations previously, so it seemed to fit in. But we were moderately sober when we went there this time, and maybe it's because I'm older or whatever. I could only stand to be there like 20 minutes. Because we stepped foot on the street from a side street, and there was already a guy throwing up, and there was two guys who were holding up another one of their friends because he couldn't even keep his head up. And it wasn't packed, but that's just what that street does to people. And I don't understand it. I don't know why. But it also smells like vomit and urine and sadness.
And I'm pretty sure... I'm pretty sure when you're down there, they make more money on shitty novelty drink cups and like two color screen print shirts
and beads that people are going to throw away into the gutter because they think that they're going to buy thousands of beads at the shops before you get to Bourbon Street, which they do. And like the big ones that are like the size of bowling balls because because that makes sense to do if you're going to be walking around on the street.
That's for the big
boots. Probably waste more money on that chintzy bullshit than anything else in New Orleans.
But I've always loved the idea that that even the most rational woman under the right circumstances will show her tits for a pair of 2 cent beads. That's always been a beautiful thing to me.
And it's Go ahead.
What'd you say?
I would say you don't watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia, right, Brian?
No.
You don't watch it.
They have
an episode. You've seen it, I think.
Yes.
Okay. The episode where Charlie goes America all over everybody's ass.
Uh-huh.
And it's all about freedoms.
Flag and eagle.
So they're getting girls in the bar to show their boobs for t-shirt. And then one of the guys is like, well, we need the wild girls. And the other guy's like, no, we don't want wild girls. We want normal girls going wild.
Right.
Because there is totally a difference.
Yeah, no, that's a full... Man, I got to watch this show. Everybody talks about it.
It's good. It's a good show.
Always Sunny.
But in the middle of the summertime, when it's the off season, there's really no tourism in New Orleans. It was still happening. There were still people getting beads thrown at them because they were throwing tits out. But the favorite thing that I brought back that I had not experienced before was they have school buses that are painted like black and blue neon colors and things like that that are for a... a drunk bus, essentially. You get on it and they'll take you to a hotel or they pick you up from the hotel or whatever. But what they are is filled with black lights. They pump bassy music so loud that you can hear it from, honestly, 3 blocks away. Mm-hmm. And I guess the new thing is they have girls that just put their asses in the windows and shake them out of the windows so you can see it. And there's a girl who stands on the entrance to the bus while it's driving. They open the door and it's driving 30 miles an hour down the road. And she's just shaking her ass to the music to try to entice you to get on their drunk party bus. That
twerk
to me was amazing.
That is so awesome.
I did not see one person actually get on or off of one of those buses. We just saw him drive around.
Do you really need to? You already saw the good part.
Yeah,
I mean, because you walk inside,
all
you're
going to
see is a bunch of people like from the opposite. Like, you see their ass if you're on the outside looking in. But like, if you're actually in the bus, then you just see like a woman,
their faces.
Yeah, yeah.
Who wants to see a woman's face? Seriously.
Right. Yeah. Like you come for the ass, right?
Well, that and the music, like I said, you could honestly hear from three blocks away. So I'm sure you get on and be like, yes, sir, purveyor, I would like to head to the Doubletree Hotel, please. But you have to try and say that eloquently over, which I'm pretty sure is like, impossible.
Where's the earplugs? And they're like, we got earmuffs.
Do they?
Yes.
Do they accept like tips, or could you like slap their ass as they drove by?
They accept just the tip, Brian.
They accept just the tip, yeah. And then
just the tip.
To
nice.
Slap an ass as it drove by, that would be a feat on yourself by one, not being hit by a bus that's traveling 30 miles an hour, and then to time it to where you don't break your hand just by accidentally hitting the bus. I'm sure you could do that if you wanted to.
Well, if you're going to break your hand, you might as well do it slapping ass.
Right.
I broke my hand before and under much less macho or awesome circumstances. So, yeah. But think how awesome of a welt you would leave on a woman's ass if you slapped it 30 miles. Like, that would totally be worth the broken hand. Like, your handprint would be implanted in her ass.
I want to time that jiggle.
That would be black and blue for weeks, months, possibly. Like, never go away.
Yeah.
It'd look like a blood clot.
That's what would make it so sexy, though.
How'd you get that bed sore? But, no, I just went to New Orleans, dude.
Hey, it's New Orleans. All you got to do is make it up to her. You can just throw her a couple of fair beads, and it'll be worth it for her.
Yeah, that's their currency down there.
So the exchange rate for the French Quarter is a couple sets of beads?
Like then? One
Five
one
sets French- of regular beads or half of a set of the ones that are bowling balls that you put all around yourself. Mm-hmm.
Equal one French
equal
quarter.
Equal one French quarter.
I'm busy. I can't come to the phone. I'm busy. I'm really not at home. So leave your message, dear, and I'll get back to you. Everybody wants to meet me now.
Hey, Shane the Man here. Taking a shit. I thought for your podcast, you might want to ask a question of how do people wipe their ass? So I wipe my ass downward, then upward, downward. Of course, reaching around the back, not under through the balls, but reaching around and going down one, up one, and I wait till I get a clean one both ways, and then I'm done. But I'm not doing that rub with one big piece, you know what I'm saying? Anyhow, you might want to ask that one. Hope to hear the answers.
Want to be on the show? Leave a message for Brian and Dave at 779-232-9344. That's 779-232-9344. Call now or not, whatever.
Yeah.
That was such a good time. So,
great.
Man, was that the okay, screw it. I'm just going to say, was that the spring break you and I tried to steal Vanilla Ice's shoe?
No,
that was not that spring break. That was I
was not
spring
at
breaks
the one
before
where you
that.
Stole Vanilla Ice's shoe.
Oh, gotcha. I'm going to keep it in. I totally want Vanilla Ice on the show. I've actually reached out to his manager a couple times. If they ever agree to be on our show, I was going to ask him if for some reason he remembers two assholes trying to take his shoe in Daytona Beach.
Dude, you should have said that. He was just in town.
I just
did a gig breaking down the stage that he played on in Kankakee for their barbecue fest. It was Salt and Pepper and Vanilla Ice.
Wow.
And then I was just talking to somebody about it because I was asked to go to this barbecue fest twice and I turned down both shows and then I got called to go break it down, which is hilarious. So I was talking to somebody. They said Salt and Pepper did like four or five songs, and I was like, well, Salt and Pepper only has four or five songs.
Right, yeah.
And the rest was like DJ Spinderella mixing up 90s music, and everyone our age thought it was fucking fantastic. But I want Vanilla Ice on the show. I want him to flip my house.
Yeah, he's like, that's the thing. Here's the thing about Vanilla Ice, like, right? Like, seriously, the dude gets a lot of shit and has for like 20-some years, but every time Ice Baby comes on, the place just fucking erupts, and everybody knows that goddamn song.
To this day.
You and I met. That's how you and I first bonded.
That is.
Is it really? No.
Yeah. Well, we, Jeff
and crackers bond over Vanilla Ice.
Well, what happened was Jeff and I were at an event, kind of like a meet and greet for a fraternity. in college, and there was this club at Illinois State University, and I'm going to talk about it now because they are now defunct, and it's like underneath a
apartment complex building now.
Yeah,
man, I hope you're talking about the Varsity Club.
Oh yeah, it was called the Varsity Club, and this place was awesome. It was notorious for letting in underage drinkers because their system was, if you were under 21, right, and to be very clear, if you were under 21, they gave you an armband before you got to the main part of the club. So, of course, naturally, the first thing everybody fucking did was take off the stupid armband. And after the coat check, there was just like a giant garbage can full of nothing but red armbands because people would just blatantly rip them off right inside the door.
And the club didn't give
it
a shit.
It was a decent system.
No, they didn't give a shit. They were making so much money because it was the only place. Well, at the time down there, there was a few other 18 and up clubs, but at the time it was like the place to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I met Jeff Fink and we bonded to Ice Ice Baby and we've made out ever since.
That was where we did the, remember we took the voice recorder in and started asking people what their favorite pickup line was?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. See,
that was a good fucking time.
If there was podcasts back then, that's what we would have done on the podcast.
Oh, I wish I had that tape, dude. Could you imagine if we had that tape?
Yeah, we, Fink, I don't know if you know it, but one time me and Dave went to the Varsity Club and we brought a tape recorder and we would just ask people like really rude or obnoxious questions and record it.
No, it was only what's your favorite pickup line. It was my research project for English class.
Oh, was that? See, details. I don't remember that shit. I just remember it being hilarious, and we got
But that was the first foray into messing with people that Brian and I had. So Varsity Club is a pretty influential establishment in the lives of all of us.
It was.
And now an excerpt from the Book of Things Dave Doesn't Care About.
Have you ever heard of triggers and microaggressions?
This was an excerpt from the Book of Things Dave Doesn't Care About.
You're listening to Nothing Important.
So I want to start a crusade.
What's your crusade?
Teaching musicians that perform live music that tone matters and sound check properly, and you won't get in a fight with the sound guy.
You were kind of telling me the story about it, but what I find interesting is that anybody that like plays in a small time bar would have any realistic expectation that they're going to sound all that amazing to begin with.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you're not the Beatles playing at fucking Red Rocks, even though I don't even think that would have been possible, but you know what I mean?
Right.
You're not like in a fucking 150,000 person amphitheater. You're in a fucking like maximum capacity, 250 people
right.
plus beer garden bar on an intersection in a town of 3,000.
It was an outdoor show, but I have a philosophical difference, I think, with a lot of people because I felt that situation, it wasn't his show. It wasn't, hey, come see Band X play tonight. It was Town Festival. Band X is providing the entertainment. And I think those are two completely different things.
Right. So it's like the difference because basically he was hired for background noise.
That's how I look at it, yeah.
Right. It wasn't like if we had a band called the Dave and Brian Band, it wasn't like, hey, everybody come see the Dave and Brian Band. It was... the Dave and Brian Band are pretty much going to provide music to smoke or for people to smoke cigarettes and drink beer to.
Right. Yeah.
But they probably wouldn't even know.
It was town festival. It was Dave and Brian Band are playing at the town festival. It wasn't come to the Dave and Brian Band show.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
But I was having some issues with the monitor. I didn't have the best gear, you could say. And the guy kind of had an attitude off jump, and I knew that he was a little buzzed up, but he was making many, many, many comments.
That's the thing about bar stars. I think even back in the day, even when we had our band, I don't feel that we ever acted like we were, besides the Daytona Beach Spring Break thing, which a ton of people have listened to now, but like, which is all true, by the way.
All true.
All true.
But that was a joke. Story. That was an experiment. It was a joke. We were doing it all tongue in cheek.
Right. But perfect example, right? When we had our band, we played at the Double Door in Wicker Park in Chicago, which is a pretty big music venue, right?
That's one of my favorite moments ever.
right? Yeah. Like, we play there. Like, this is a pretty famous stage. Like, a lot of big bands come to this stage, and they play, like, a lot of big names. And we were there for some retarded...
Battle of the Bands.
I don't even know if they still run that anymore. But, like, we did it just because it was like, haha, let's why the fuck not? You know, it worked out in our favor because we got to meet, like, the Ghetto Billies and Nice Peter and all that through that. So, like, that aspect of it was very cool.
Uh-huh.
But it's funny that you bring up soundcheck, because I was the lead singer of a band and I have no musical talent whatsoever. Like, I can't sing. I can't play any instruments. So pretty much what I can do, though, is, like, get on stage and make an ass of myself. And that's pretty much what it was.
The show.
It was like, hey, here's four guys who can play an instrument. And, oh, look, that guy can make an ass of himself. that was pretty much our band.
Don't sell yourself short. You wrote good lyrics.
Yeah, something like that.
And you're not a bad half-ass singer.
Something like that. So
just your fucking humility.
But anyway, so we would have to do sound checks. And it's funny that you brought that up, because what was my least favorite part of any show?
Sound check.
The fucking sound check. Because one, I can't sing. So now, like, I'm singing, like, to basically just the sound guy. Yeah,
you're singing a cappella.
Yeah. Oh, it's fucking terrible. And, like, they'd always be like, okay, but sing how you're going to sing it on stage. And I'd always be like, dude, you don't really fucking understand how little I know what the fuck I'm doing. Like, for all I know, this could be better than how I'm singing it on stage. Cause, like, I had no, like, tone control, none of that stuff. It's just like, hey, whatever came out of my mouth, that's just what the audience was going to hear.
Right.
And what happened? We did sound check and what happened?
I don't know which story you're telling, actually, because you might be confused.
Do we have more than one? Because I don't even remember. This is when the guy told us we fucking
sucked. We've already told this story on the podcast.
Right, but it's relevant
right
now.
Yeah, so we're going to tell it. Right. No, that was actually that was at the Blue Note Lounge.
Oh, okay.
That was at the Blue Note Lounge. We actually won that night.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Double Door. So we already told that story. The sound guy said we suck and blah, blah, blah. But the Double Door story was when we were checking monitors. And this is the first time we'd ever dealt in a situation where we had a monitor guy.
Oh, yeah.
You remember this? So Fink and I want to say Caesar were out front, and they were our sound guys. They were the ones that would check our levels when we actually played, because we ran our own soundboard at our shitty little shows. And so they're out front. No, it was Matt. It was Matt Biskey from Matt Biskey in the Island City. Matt and Fink are out there. And they're checking our monitors, and Matt and Fink are out in the crowd making comments about the way it sounds. And the monitor guy just goes, hey, we're only checking monitors right now, so shut the fuck up, or something like that. And it just, like, stunned everybody. And I turned to the guy and I was like, look, dude, I was like, I didn't know that. And those are our sound guys. So, like, sorry for the misunderstanding. And, like, he had the biggest attitude.
You should have been like, look, dude, we don't even know what the fuck we're doing. And we're not even sure how the hell we got here.
That's basically what it was.
I didn't even know that in-ear things were called monitors back in the day. I was like, wait, like, the first time you said that we need monitors, I was like a screen for lyrics, like a monitor.
It's so you
I had no idea that's what that was
so
called.
So you can hear yourself.
A lot of small time. Was this a cover band?
Yes.
Well, then who the fuck cares? Like, you know what? Like, I understand artistic integrity. If it was like, if you play nothing but originals and you have like art, like
we sound so like if this and we need to sound like this.
Right. Yeah. Like if you have your own band and you sing your own songs and you sing all originals, like, then I could see at least working with the sound guy and be like, hey man, I really need like the tones at this. Uh-huh. This is really the sound I'm looking for, because you're actively developing an audience. Right.
Right. Right.
If you're a cover band, like, go fuck your mother, dude. Especially if you're like a rocker. Like,
you just, the best part of the night, the dude's mother came up to me. The guy's mom came up to me and said, you need to turn the vocals up.
Needs to turn the vocals up?
Yeah, like, I can't hear my son. You need to turn him up.
Well,
you're right. There's the look on your face that I had earlier.
Right. Like,
I ignored her. I looked at her and she said that, and I immediately just turned and I just started working on the board again.
Okay, so here's how I see this. Okay, so we have a friend of the show, the Two White Crew, their lead singer, C-Note, he was on our show. He was one of the first
one of our first guests.
Yeah, and we're going to have him back, but not even as an interview, just to be a third mic sometime when we're recording up here in Chicago. Uh-huh. Just an all-around cool dude, totally a hustler. And, you know, they are a cover band. They cover hip-hop songs, but they play everything completely live. Like, it'll sound like a track or a loop, and it's not. Right. It's Woodsy Fresh banging it out on the digital drum.
I am going to step in and say they are a tribute band. Because I do draw distinctions between cover bands and tribute bands.
Well, that's like my point. Like him, what they do is like a fucking production, right?
Yeah.
Like they have dancers everywhere. They have fucking people sitting on stage. They have dance uh-huh. contests.
They're putting on a show.
Like they're putting on a show. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's a fucking production. Jackass and his three friends who used to play in a high school band and are now playing at a small town festival. Who's a cover band? Like, you know, there's so much difference in putting on a full fledged production and then just being a band that plays the fucking music.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like Two White Crew is a tribute band because they have lights and like all this crazy shit and like music and fucking like throwing shit out in the audience and like booty shake. Like they are a fucking show, you know what I mean? But like if you're just like three guys, you know, two of which happen to have cars and a guy that borrowed a drum set from his son so he can play fucking Leonard Skinner down at the local bar, like fuck off.
Yeah,
like you know, like
you've been stamped out. There's so many bands like you. There was four bands like you that played that bar that weekend.
Right. Well, you know? Well, that's my point. The like Two White Crew, if they were on that level, that would be like C-Note from Two White Crew basically having an MP3 player with like the audio tracks on the background and then him just rapping over it as if it was karaoke.
Right.
Like the only difference between these guys and karaoke is you don't have a shitty TV monitor from the 1980s, like scrolling the lyrics across on a blue screen. Right. You know, that's the absolute complete difference. Like cover bands are fucking bullshit. Now that's not saying that bands that do covers are bullshit because everybody does covers. Well, you know what I mean?
Like, I'm not going to say cover bands are bullshit. I say cover bands are background music and they're totally acceptable in that situation. But when you try to make the about that cover band show, mm-hmm. No, you're a cover band.
What kind of music did this band play?
Just rock covers. Like every...
like fucking Nickelback and like, yeah, I'm sure he played Nickelback, Puddle of Mud. And
Buck Cherry, Puddle of Mud.
Yeah, come on, dude. Go fuck yourself, man. You're not doing anything to it. I mean, was there like costume changes?
No.
I mean, it's not like they had pyrotechnics or lights, you know what I mean? Like
the band,
they had nothing that would justify them being an asshole to you. Because they don't think they sound that good. It's like, motherfucker, it's not like anybody's going to walk through the bar and be like, I'm signing them to $1 million fucking record deal because they can cover Mary Jane by Tom Petty. See, I feel that's, I mean, you got to know as a cover band that's what you're for.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're not out to get fans. You're not practicing for a tour. You know what I mean?
But like that's the thing is a lot of these bands, I know my band was out to get fans.
Like remember when we were little or like not little, but you know, we were younger. Right. Mm-hmm. And everybody picks up a guitar and everybody could play like the first three chords to like,
We Come As You Are.
Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay. Bam. Cover band. Like at that moment, you're officially a cover band. Now you step that shit up to like 16 Candles style or like Two White Crew and like you're starting to put on a production and a show,
right?
And you're showing the original versions like some respect, you know, where you're practicing multiple times a week,
right,
to like, you know, like do the songs correctly, like then you're legit and you have the right to have an audience. But I'm sorry, just because you picked up the guitar and you can play Under the Bridge or most of Under the Bridge, you know, you're a fucking cover
band. Well, that's, and that was the thing, because I was in a 90s cover band and, you know, we had an angle. It was all 90s. And mm-hmm. I was always pushing for more production, you know. Mm-hmm. And the other guys were just kind of cool with just playing 90s covers. And that was kind of what I was like, well, if we just play 90s covers, then we're just another stupid fucking cover band. Even if we stick to one genre, we're still just another stupid cover band. But if we start, like, changing our tones up a little bit between songs and, like, you know, wigs for the grunge stuff and like flashy colors for the hip hop stuff. Like, that's what I wanted to do. You know,
right?
That's fun. Then you're having fun. You're putting on a show.
Right, and then when you're putting on a show, then you have the right to have then you have a right to give the sound guy a hard fucking time.
Right. Yes.
Be sure to follow Nothing Important online at nothingimportantpodcast.com. Find us on iTunes, on Twitter at NotImportantPC, and you can also find us on Facebook. Nothing Important is recorded with help from Third City Sound in Joliet, Illinois. Thanks for being awesome.